Hello, everybody. My name is Ashley Thomas, and I'm one of the lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. We want to say welcome to you and thank you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in live or on demand or listening by our audio podcast. We just thank you for tuning in on today. We know God has a special, special message He wants to deliver right to you wherever you are in the world. And so today, I have the honor of closing out our collection of talks on the hidden blessings found in the Beatitudes. And so we're going to just really dive in this morning. I pray you got your pencil and paper ready. I'm a note taker. And so this is going to be really good. So we've talked about, last week we talked about the hidden blessing of grief and self-awareness and oneness. But this week our focus will be on a word that we really don't particularly like to experience and we tend to shy away from, and that word is persecution. Now, persecution defined is the practice of oppressing or harshly mistreating someone for doing what is good and right. You see, there is a hidden blessing in persecution, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But for many of us, our experiences of persecution is just, it brings up memories of pain and suffering and hardship. And that especially rings true when it's coming from people that you really love, like friends or family or even colleagues. Or maybe those you once looked up to. But what I love is that Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12, bring us a totally different perspective of how to look at this word in persecution. Let's go ahead and dive in. Matthew 5, verse 10 says, God blesses. He blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It says, God blesses you when people mock you, when people persecute you, when they lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. And he goes on to say, be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets, they were persecuted in the exact same way. Let's pray this morning. So Daddy, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the word that you've given us on today. Father, we thank you that any comforting that we need from your Holy Spirit, may we receive that in abundance on today. Father, we ask that you fill our lives and bless our families and protect us, Father. I pray right now that your wisdom comes forth, Father, and that it's a due word in due season, Father. And we just thank you for all your many wonderful blessings that you have for us on today. We give you praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I go any further, I kind of want to let you into a story of my own. I actually faced persecution at a very young age, and I remember it so vividly because I think it marked me for really a lot of my early adulthood life. And it happened when I was in second grade. So you're about 7 years old when you're in second grade, right? And I had this really mean teacher, y'all. She was like on some other stuff. She really didn't like me, and I didn't understand why. I felt as if I was getting persecuted, so much so I would be the mockery of the whole class. Like, she would take my papers and my things that I would turn in, and she would like almost taunt me for them in front of the class, and you saw the class just cracking up at me. And I had such low self-esteem, and I was so dejected because this teacher just made me feel like nothing, really. And it got so bad where I just stopped applying myself, and I ended up failing the second grade. And so if you can imagine now, you know, every year after that, I'm the tallest girl. I'm the girl that was left behind, and all the way up until high school year, really. But it's amazing how God used that moment of persecution and gave me resilience through it all. And now here I am. I don't know if you all have caught, but on social media, my husband posted, not but a few weeks ago, I graduated with my master's. And so I just take that as a simple step of how persecution can plant a seed, but it's what we do with that seed going forward that we're really able to flourish. Or sometimes we almost let it paralyze us. But I want to talk about this more. And I know many of us don't especially like being lied on or talked about. I know I don't. I don't like being judged. I don't like being condemned. And in the past, I will admit, y'all, I haven't handled persecution so well. And I think today, I think that God has given me a good word. I think that we both could learn from in this word persecution. And the first key to understanding persecution is that it is the Christian's stamp of separation. It's the Christian's damp of separation. You know, I referenced John 15 in verse 18 and 19. This is Jesus talking. And he says, listen, don't get down if people hate you, if the world hates you, because guess what? They hated me first. He said, in fact, let that be an indicator for you to know that you're on the right track, because you don't belong to the world. And I've chosen you out of the world. And we live in this world, but we're not of it. And so he was almost encouraging us that if we experience persecution, it's because we're his. And that's one of the earmark things. That's one of the key things to being a believer, is to understand that in this life, we may suffer some persecution. And I want to encourage you that if you found yourself in this position, then you're in pretty good company, because the Bible is filled with stories of believers that have faced persecution. We're going to check out one in today. If you would, turn to your Bibles in Daniel 6. And to set the stage for you, this is Daniel in the lion's den. This is a story that many of you may be very, very familiar with. But in Daniel chapter 6, here's Daniel. He's a captive. He's working under a Persian king. And the persecution that he faces, I mean, just happens right off the bat in verse 3. Let's jump in there. In Daniel 6 and 3, it says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers because of Daniel's great ability. One translation says, because there was an excellent spirit found in Daniel. It says, and the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling governmental affairs, but they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful. He was always responsible and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, well, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. You know, our collection of talks have been centered around hidden blessings. And I think one of the blessings of persecution happens right in this text. And if you have a pen and paper, write this down. The blessing of persecution is that it is often the precursor to promotion. The blessing of persecution is that it is often the precursor to promotion. You see, it wasn't until Daniel started getting some notoriety, he started rising higher, he started leading on larger platforms, that these other officers felt inferior. They felt jealous. You know, our modern term has our modern world, our modern culture has a term for this. And it's called hater. And I don't know if y'all have experienced some haters in your life, but I literally pulled this from the Urban Dictionary, y'all. It says, a hater is a person that simply cannot be happy for another person's success. So rather than be happy, they make a point of exposing a flaw in that person. Well, I don't know about you, but on the heels of this revelation, if it's a precursor to promotion, then y'all, I think we should take some time out to really say thank you to all the haters. I want to say thank you to those who persecuted me. I want to say thank you to those who lied and talked about me. I want to say thank you to those who judged me, condemned me, dogged me out, told stories about me, because they reminded me of who was for me. They reminded me of who I am. And they reminded me that I'm different. And they reminded me that I have an appointment, I have a divine destiny, I have purpose, that promotion is on the horizon. And so if you have a hater, let's just say thank you. Let's just say thank you to them. And I want you to drop that in the comment below. Say thank you. Just thank you to all my haters. And in this season, and what I've learned over my life is that a lot of times, y'all, people don't even really know what they're jealous of. See, they think it's you, but they don't realize that it's the God in you. But in order to remain in oneness, you know, our discussion last week, my husband so eloquently brought the word on maintaining oneness. And it's like, how do you maintain oneness when you've got these haters? This is how. We have to understand that most of the persecution and most of the hateration, I don't even know if that's a word, but hateration that you are going to receive in your life is in direct correlation to the anointing and to the grace and power of God working in and through your life. That's what they're responding to. And so a lot of times when people see you operating in your gifting, they see you operating in your talents, they see you operating in God's grace, in the favor he's giving you, they don't know how to handle it, because somewhere in their mind, they don't believe they have access to it. And so for this reason, if you have a hater and you've identified those people in your life that just don't cease to stop criticizing you, don't cease to stop judging you, what I want to say is, y'all, don't be angry at them. But let's have compassion for them, because they don't know who they are. And so if you want to ask me, well, Ashley, how do I handle my haters? I'll say, love your haters. Love your haters. That's how you handle them. And if you don't mind dropping that in the comment box, I love my haters. Let's do that. Love my haters. I love my haters. I know that 1 Peter 4:14, when God's anointed is working through you, he calls it the spirit of glory and of God that's resting on you. That's a beautiful thing. When the spirit of the glory of God is resting on you. So let's head back into the story of Daniel. In Daniel 6, y'all, his haters were seeing the glory of God resting on Daniel. And so here they are trying to set him up to basically kill him. And in verse 6, we see here that they're playing to the king's pride, and they're manipulating this king to sign a law saying that anybody who prays outside to anyone else that is not King Darius, who was the Persian king at this time, that they are to be put in the lion's den. Well, this is a death sentence, in fact. But this is how Daniel responded. Let's turn to Daniel 6 and verse 10. It says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, listen to what he did. He went home and he knelt down as usual. And then the text goes on to describe what his as usual was. It says, he went upstairs to his room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. I love Daniel's response, because you see, Daniel didn't respond to the chaos with more chaos. He responded to the chaos with the calm of doing things as usual. His faith remained constant during the change. And I want to say, you know, oftentimes when we're experiencing, I know in this season, there's been a lot of changes and a lot of shakeups taking place, y'all. I mean, every day we're waking up to some news story, to some breaking news, to something going on in this world. And a lot of it, I will say, a lot of it is not even really great stuff. It's just more stuff compounded on us. But when we experience changes of evil or wrongdoing, and we're seeing these things, whether on our TV or whether scrolling through social media, I want to echo a phrase that my husband so eloquently coined a couple of talks ago. He said, you know, before we panic, we ought to pray. And this is what we see Daniel doing here. We see him praying to God, and he wasn't allowing the change of circumstances to determine his course of action. He wasn't moved with panic or fear, and he wasn't trying to go and get acceptance or validation or approval from these kings or from these other officials that were so hung up to get him. He simply went to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this, the minute you become willing to be rejected by man, to be accepted by God, that's when you can experience the true freedom and the fullness that God has for you in your life. And so in verse 15, we see his accusers coming to the king, and we're going to read what happens in verse 16. It says, so at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. And the king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. This was pretty much a death sentence, y'all. Let's read in verse 17. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles, so that no one could rescue Daniel. You know, when we experience persecution, a lot of times it feels like our situation is so dire that we don't have anyone else but God to rely on. I don't know if you found yourself in those situations before where there's no amount of money, there's no nothing you can do for me. It has to be a me and God situation. That's what kind of situation Daniel was in. The stone was rolled over, the seal was on it. No one could rescue Daniel. It was truly a him and God moment, and it had to be a miracle to take place in order for Daniel to get out of that. And so another blessing of persecution, while it doesn't always feel like it, the blessing of enduring persecution will cause you to have to rely and depend on the power of God. You'll know for yourself that my God is my provider, that my God is my savior, that my God is my healer, because there was nobody else that could have got you out of that situation but God. And often, the greatest levels of faith that we experience are in our greatest hardships and weaknesses. I love the scripture from 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, it says, I delight in my weaknesses. This is Paul talking. He says, I delight in my weaknesses, in my insults, in my hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. He says, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. And I want to encourage you, while persecution is it's great that we're identifying with Christ, because he says, listen, if you're my followers, expect this. So on one hand, it's great that we're kind of expecting this, and we're kind of noticing this and experiencing this in our own life. But on the other hand, and I know this has happened for me, sometimes persecution can leave you feeling like you are left in pieces. But it's in the so-called weaknesses that we're able to see God's goodness. And what I'm continually learning is that God desires to turn our messiness, our brokenness, into his beautiful masterpiece. To illustrate this even more, I want to share with you a ancient Japanese art technique called kintsugi. And I ran across this a couple of weeks ago, but I thought it was just so fitting for today. If you've never heard of it, kintsugi is an art form that specializes in restoring broken and damaged and neglected pottery and repairing them with liquid gold, refining them and bringing back to them value that to what was once shattered and fragmented. And I think much like this art form, I believe God desires to do the same thing with us. He wants to take our fragments, our brokenness, our damages, the things that have hurt us, the things that have wounded us, and instead of us hiding and disguising them, he wants to fill us with the liquid gold of his Holy Spirit and refine us and restore us and make us whole and make us new. I know persecution is not a very easy thing to experience, and I know many of you probably have, but if you're a person right now that is experiencing persecution, or if you're one that is still healing from something that was done to you, from the wounds that others have inflicted upon you and your family, I really want to pray for you today. And I want to encourage you to sow those seeds to God, to give all of that to God. You know, Psalms 126 and 5 says, those who sow in tears will reap in shouts of joy. And I think a lot of what we have went through, God desires to take that and use that, because God can use that persecution and he can use that pain and turn it into his purpose and power for your life, if we'll just let him. And so today I want to encourage you, you're not alone, and I want to pray for you. So Father, for anyone who is experiencing any type of hardship, any type of wound from others that was unnecessarily caused, Father, for they were doing what you put in their heart, Lord, and it seemed like they were the ones that got the short end of the stick. But Father, I pray your comfort on them even now, Father. Heal those wounds. May the liquid gold of your Holy Spirit fill the parts of their heart that are still healing in this moment, Lord. I pray your comfort over them. I thank you that you have a greater plan for their life, a greater purpose, Father. I pray that the pain that they've experienced not become their paralyzation, Father, but become the power needed to go forth and do the very thing that you have called and put in their life, Father. I just thank you for each and every person listening under the sound of my voice. We just pray a blessing over every single heart, even now. We give you all the glory for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, listen, if I prayed with you, put down in the comment box, I prayed with you, just so that we could know. And then there should be a number, too, down there, so just text that number. And we'll be happy to just love on you, call you, and just see how you are. But I pray that you got something from this message on today. Listen, if you want to partner with us into our giving, the information will be on the screen. Listen, worship with your money, worship with your resources. We worship with everything in the outlet, right? And we're just so grateful. We're so grateful for our family that gives. We're so grateful for our family that's so generous in their hearts to do what God has put in their heart. Well, we love you guys. We pray for you all. Listen, I want to just pray a general prayer. So God, we just bless everyone on this prayer, on this call right now. Father, we just thank you for your spirit that's leading them and guiding them. Give them purpose, give them hope, give them clarity to hear your voice. And we just thank you for all the things that they're going to do, all the testimonies that will come forth. And because of your goodness and your grace, Lord, we just thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys. I'll see you next time on The Outlet at Home.